Hey there!
This is Flaherty's on Films, and this week we're talking about The Searchers.
Hit the music! Hey everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
And this week we're talking about The Searchers from 1956.
Michael, what's it about? Why don't you tell the folks at home?
Once I finish burping, an American Civil War veteran...
But the wrong kind!
The bad kind. He is our hero. Embarks on a journey to rescue his niece from the Comanches.
Comanches.
Colleen, what did you think of the film?
So, we've been doing this a while. And
yeah, 20 years.
I think so. And I remember when we first started this, one of our complaints about podcasts is we're a little too negative. There was a lot of bad movies. But as we get up the list, the movies are getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, last week we watched fucking Star Wars. It was great.
That was a good podcast. We gave it an A+.
Yeah. And then this week, I'm like, another Western. But I mean, it's the 12th best movie of all time.
John
Wayne. This is Martin Scorsese's favorite film.
It's got to be good.
It was so bad. It was so boring and weird and racist, and I hated it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to the audience at home who just doesn't want to hear another negative podcast where we're bitching about this movie. But that's what it is. Spoiler alert. Michael, what'd you think?
Oh, I didn't really pick up on the racism because I could barely understand what the fuck was happening because the movie is so just like I told David halfway through the film, I'm like, I feel like this entire movie happens off screen because I could barely understand, like, the audio was weird. They spoke in such a heavy accent. The story, when you think about it, is so simple, but I could not concentrate on it. I was playing with your daughter as well.
Yeah.
And that was distracting.
I feel like I concentrate a little more and I hated it.
And you watched it twice.
I watched it 1.5 times.
Oh, wow.
I gave up. There's a chipmunk outside your window and it's very cute.
Oh, well, he's probably going to die because it's stuck.
No, he's not stuck. He's on the top. See?
Oh.
Well, he got out.
He got out. Oh, it's a big one.
Big one.
Oh, nice. What are we doing?
talking about chipmunks. Because talking about chipmunks is so much better than talking about this terrible, terrible movie.
For Chip or Dale? Which one are you for?
Oh, I like Chip's no nonsense. Right? Dale's the one with the red shirt.
And the red nose, right?
Yeah. I like Chip's, like, I'm serious. I'm just here to be a detective.
Can I tell you something? I watched a lot of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I do not remember them having different personalities.
So Chip was
I just remember
one,
is the nose color.
And Dale was like the fun, goofy one. Dale was like the Michelangelo.
If you're going to be a chipmunk, like, be serious.
Exactly. I mean, if you're a detective agency.
Yeah, I'm fucking show up for the job. You know, wear a Hawaiian shirt. Fuck's that? That's not okay.
They wear gumshoes. They gotta be serious.
I mean, you could do something about that nose. You know, you could like cover it up, right?
Right.
There's
anyway.
Probably makeup for that. Is there more to this podcast besides talking about Chip and Dale Rescue?
I think there is. And you know what it is?
No, I don't.
Bam.
Time for Sam. That's right. Sam, do you want to tell us some facts about The Searchers, whatever that is?
No, I would much rather talk about Chip and Dale. Oh, this research is less fun, but okay, here we go. In 1954, Alan Lee May published his novel, The Searchers. It was partially based on the Fort Parker massacre that occurred on May 19th, 1836.
That's your birthday!
Not 1836, but yes, the day is my birthday. A large group of Native Americans from several tribes attacked the Parker family, killing several.
Nice. Also, Meghan and Harry's anniversary.
Yes. Whoa. They were married on my birthday.
This is so fun. Anyway, a lot of people died.
And kidnapped several others, including 9-year-old Cynthia Ann Parker.
Nice.
Cynthia would live with the Comanche tribe for 24 years. She was married to the chieftain and had 3 children. Eventually, she was found by rangers and her uncle, who, quote, freed her. She would hate the fame that her rescue brought to her and would hate living in the society that she was brought back into. And so she would try to run away back to her tribe, but they would catch her back to Texas. She had only her daughter with her, her young daughter. And her daughter...
She had 3 kids.
Yep, they only brought one daughter back with her. And her daughter, Prairie Flower, would pass away from pneumonia. Heartbroken with grief and being separated from her other children, Cynthia would refuse food and water and would eventually die of starvation.
That is not a fun fact.
Nope. This movie sucks. Her eldest son, who would become the last free Comanche chieftain, would move her body and his sister's body back home so that they could be put to rest with their family.
Nice.
Anyway, John Ford would turn this story into a movie, The Searchers. Originally, he wanted to hire Fess Parker, who was, at the time, playing the iconic role of Davy Crockett. However, Parker was under contract with Disney, and he was incredibly popular at the time. Apparently, those skin hats were, like, making a moment.
The raccoon hats.
Yeah. Sure. And it was all because of him. He was really big. Walt Disney refused to allow Ford to even approach Parker, and Disney never told Parker about the offer. When Parker found out years later, he was furious.
Ooh. It's called a coonskin cap.
Oh, ooh. Thank you.
Isn't that cute?
It's really cute. That's going to be the only cute fact of this.
Okay.
Sorry. John Ford is known for his westerns, but also for using Native American actors, which is a big deal and awesome. Okay.
Really? I remember you comment like, that guy looks Italian.
And he was a German actor.
Oh, that's right.
In this film, he did cast all Navajo actors for the roles of the Comanche Native Americans, except for Chief Scar, who was played by Henry Brandon, a German actor. In this film, the language, clothing, songs, and dance were actually Navajo instead of Comanche.
Okay. That's pretty good, I guess.
And so Comanche is a real non-fictional tribe?
Yes.
Okay.
So the woman that was kicked down the hill by one of our protagonists was a real Navajo. That's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving you kind of
fun reliving the journey of our heroes. Please continue.
I'm giving you kind of the overview, but apparently he had Native Americans in a lot of his films, and he would always get Native American actors, which is really good.
Whenever you paid them. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, the article I read was a little... like, isn't it so nice that he gave these people jobs?
Oh, golly gee. Yeah. That's funny, wonderful.
Brief overview. Anyway, so Brandon, the actor, was surprised he had gotten the role and later told a Ford biographer that on the first day of shooting, he went up to the director and asked, "Mr. Ford, I've lost lots of native parts, Indians, Arabs, because of my blue eyes. How come you cast me?" Ford replied, "Brandon, hasn't it occurred to you that the exception... dramatically speaking, it's always more exciting than the rule."
That's stupid.
Brandon would go on to use that line many times when the issue of his blue eyes would come up, and he said he always got the parts by quoting Mr. Ford.
Okay.
Guys, you never expect it.
I don't love these facts. Bear with me.
What was the bar in Star Wars? What was it called?
The Cantina?
Wasn't that fun? It was full of Muppets.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Apparently... to get more, like, creative people in the background, they just went to a local Halloween store and bought a bunch of, like, alien masks.
That's so good.
That's so good.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
That's real fun.
Anyway, so the Searchers.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go.
Oh, my God. How many times did you and I yell at the screen about how it's not Star Wars?
A lot of times. We like that movie.
Just wait, it keeps getting better. Okay, so bear with me. When Lana Wood, who played young Debbie, came to audition, she was ushered into a room where she was introduced to John Wayne and John Ford. Instead of getting a script to audition, Ford told Wayne to, quote, "lift her up." Wood would describe it in her autobiography. "Mr. Wayne stood up. He seemed to extend further towards the ceiling than anyone I've ever seen in my life. Grinned, rubbed his huge hands together, then he reached down and picked me up and never once stopped smiling at me. Ew. That's fine. No problem at all," he finally said, putting me down, and that was it. She got the part.
I don't like it.
I'm telling you, these facts aren't fun. I'm sorry.
Sorry, she was cast because she didn't weigh a lot?
Apparently.
Hmm.
Also, okay.
I mean, what's changed?
This might have factor into
wow,
it.
Wow, John Wayne was 6'4". Anyway.
Is that why he's John Wayne? Is that why he's a big deal? It's because he's fucking tall?
I don't know.
Liam Neeson's really tall.
We'll talk more about, well, great.
So Lana Wood's older sister, Natalie Wood, was cast as older Debbie. Mm-hmm. So that might have been also a reason for the casting, as they look similar because they were siblings.
Right.
Natalie Wood was still in high school while filming occurred. On several, no, this is a fun one.
Okay.
I promise. On several occasions, both John Wayne and Jeffrey Hunter had to pick her up from school to bring her to the set. And apparently this caused a lot of excitement among Wood's female classmates.
Very cute.
You know what else is a better movie than this? Is West Side Story, which also Natalie Wood was in.
Oh, tap dance.
I only saw him.
So much better.
Okay, so it was hinted, although not explicitly stated, that Ethan had had an affair with his brother's wife and was the father of Debbie. Ford had told Wayne about this to motivate his thirst for vengeance.
Okay.
Mm, makes sense.
This film would be a hit with critics and fans alike, and it would be appreciated for years to come for its beautiful shots and would go on to inspire many people. The list of directors that this film inspired.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese does not shut up about this film.
Yeah.
What does he say?
It's his favorite film.
What does he say about it?
Steven Spielberg. Like,
oh, yeah, Steven Spielberg really likes it. Are you trying to... I forget.
Oh, I want a specific.
Well, I'm going to give you three specific examples.
Yes.
You're welcome. So included in this is David Lean, who watched this movie repeatedly to prepare for the landscape shots in Lawrence of Arabia. Also, the scene in Star Wars when Luke finds his home destroyed was inspired by this film.
So it's sure. All cinematography,
I guess.
Martin Scorsese talked about, like, the troubled hero was the thing that he liked.
Oh, okay. Everything I read was about the cinematography, pretty
which
much
is
the
fine
shots.
I guess.
And then the final one, which I thought was interesting, but I've never seen it, so cool. Vince Gilligan was greatly influenced by this film's ending for the last episode of his show Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I did hear that one. I don't really get
I remember the ending. I don't really know how it connects to...
Right, because so this is a weird difference between Breaking Bad and this. Breaking Bad is actually interesting to watch.
Really good.
And good.
High quality
and,
film.
Yeah, and you like understand everyone's motives.
I don't remember liking the ending because he just got everything he wanted, right?
But then he died.
Well, he was going to die.
Spoiler.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, well, and then Aaron Paul, though.
Escaped.
But did he?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, I just want to talk about Breaking Bad.
So this movie has a lot of praise.
I haven't seen the new season of Better Call Saul. I've only seen up to season 3.
It's good. You should watch
I've heard people say it's bad. It's kind of run off the rails in season 4.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
This is really good content.
But I fucking love that show.
Go on,
man.
Sam.
This is a good show.
So besides all the praise from the critics and fans and the huge influence it had, we haven't talked about the most important one. So, your question of the week. How many Academy Awards was The Searcher nominated for?
Oh, boy. Nominated.
Nominated.
Mine's a trick answer.
Okay.
Zero.
Nine.
Zero.
God damn
Whoa!
It!
I did not expect to win.
You're
I was
like two ahead
fun.
Of me now.
The big winner that year was Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Excellent.
Because that's a good film. I am so mad that you told me that because one of the pillars of the AFI is award winning. So this won no awards and it's still number fucking 12.
Okay, but that being said, I will give it this. So there's this website called They Shoot Films, Don't They? And they take every single like critic and they kind of like read through them and kind of rank films based on critic reviews. And this film's like 9 overall. So it is award winning in the critics.
No,
office. No.
I'm stretching.
I'm so angry that you told me that.
I'm just happy. I won. Zero.
I mean, now I'm double angry because I lost.
The Bridge Over the River Kwai. Come on.
Which is amazing.
Which is
exactly.
Such a good movie.
Which one should have won?
I don't.
You should be excited.
Yeah, we're
the
happy that the
got
critics
it right.
chose correctly. Yeah.
I guess. I just. Then why is this number 12? That makes no sense.
Okay, I do have one thing here. One thing about this film that I love.
Ooh. Ooh.
This was the first major film to have a purposely filmed making of or behind the scenes.
That's really cool.
I do like that.
So it was requested by John Ford, the director, and it showed the preparation of the sites, the construction of the props, and the filming techniques. And in the grand use of corporate synergy, Warner Brothers aired it on their TV shows. So they actually had, it was the first not only made behind the scenes, but was also the first aired on TV.
I do like that.
That's actually very cool.
And my final fact for you today In the early 1990s, producer Charles Roven wanted to make a remake with Bruce Willis and Johnny Depp. But the big difference, this film was never made, don't try and research it. The big difference was that it took place in space.
Whoa!
Yes! I'm so sad that movie doesn't exist.
Oh, I know.
Man. This is Gladiator 2 all over again.
Oh, God. Ugh. That's something sad again. That was Bam.
Time for Sam.
What do we do next?
Next, we hear from the best of the best to hear what they have to say about this film, because we don't know shit.
That's true.
Let's see what the experts and critics have to say in a little segment we like to call Critics Corner.
Yeah.
Michael, you want to start us off?
I want you to start.
Okay. The Searchers is Ford's greatest Western, with John Wayne as the relentless adventurer, Ethan Edwards.
Adventurer.
I know. Are you fucking kidding me? Anyway.
Here's from Ian. Here's what Ian says. I seriously don't know what people see in this movie. It was totally hokey and offensive, and the acting was horrible. It is beyond me why this movie is rated so highly. I guess I cannot trust the Amazon rating system.
Poor Ian. This
Amazon reviewer is not silly. That's just right.
We haven't even talked about John Wayne. Because
that's my least favorite part.
Oh, shit. Okay. Some fine vignettes of frontier life in the early Southwest and a realistic presentation of the difficulties faced by the settlers in carving out a homestead in dangerous Indian country, said Ronald Holloway, who still somehow has a job at Variety, saying that offensive shit. Anyway.
Here's from Carol.
Are you excited to read this?
Why this movie?
It's long, but I had to do the whole thing because it spoke to my heart.
Why this movie is considered a classic is beyond comprehension. John Wayne, as always, tromps through his lines like a Yeti. Burn. That's a sick burn.
Accurate.
His character is incomprehensible. The film, in fact, is incomprehensible in terms of any emotional logic. It's mildly interesting that he's a racist, sexist pig and wants to shoot his niece for having sex with a buck, but then he transforms into a fabulous good guy for no apparent reason at all, rescues her, whether she wants to or not, and carries her home in his arms, which is creepily incestuous. There are humorous bits as well that make you crawl into a corner. For example, the really funny bit. This sounds like us. The really funny bit where Jeffrey Hunter kicks his squaw wife down a hill for wanting to sleep next to him. And he's the only relatively good human in the movie. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible movie. It deserves no regard at all.
Isn't Carol just like, wow.
I hope Carol works at Variety. I hope she gets Ron's job.
Yeah. Carol.
Carol, you're great.
We should hang out with you.
We should. You're awesome.
A rip-snorting Western, as brashly entertaining as they come, says Bosley Crowther of the New York Times.
Rip-snorting. I wanted my rip snorted, but that did not happen.
I don't even know what that
is. A Western, I like this part. Western movies have gunfights, bar brawls with a good story in order to entertain me. The movie is filled with sadness, manly perseverance, and empty triumph. That's from Carisboy. Carabasoy.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So that was Critics Corner.
A
lot of people.
Do we have a new perspective? Did we learn a lot from that segment?
I just learned that I want to hang out with Carol.
Carol's the best.
I do not under. This is one of these movies. This is similar to what's Nashville, where it's like, what the fuck is going on? Mm. Although this is actually a little worse. We're like, I mean, not a worse movie, just worse than like, how is it everybody's getting something that I'm not?
It's Nashville is like. Whoa, clearly that was new. That was a new thing.
They're going for something.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it's like what's that, High Noon? That actor, Gary Cooper, who everyone says is the greatest actor ever. And I'm like, what do I not see that everybody in the world sees?
Okay, well, let's just go there then. My least favorite part of the film.
Oh, sorry, this is favorite part, least favorite.
My least favorite part is John Wayne. I actually have not seen a John Wayne film besides Quiet Man, because that is for some reason our father's favorite film. I don't know if I've ever actually watched that movie.
I've watched that movie a lot.
you've seen it front to back.
I kind of like Quiet Man.
Really? What's good about it?
Well, I didn't say it was good. I said I liked it.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. It's just kind of silly and a
beautiful
fun Irish
Ireland.
Movie. It's really beautiful. The cinematography is gorgeous. And so it's kinda like this movie. Merino hair is really good. No, it's better than this movie. And it's a funny, like, there are actually lines that make you laugh a little bit, and it's cute, and it's like, oh, I understand the dialogue. And John Wayne is just a nothing burger in that, and it's fine. It works for that movie.
Yeah, I have 2 points now. First of all, nothing burger, which is a great word. So my second point is John Wayne is such a name that I like, I knew of him even though I didn't see any of his movies. I really didn't know what his shtick was. It's like a John Wayne. Can't wait to see a John Wayne film. And John Wayne is so unremarkable. He is just like...
That's what he used to look like when he was young.
That's John Wayne?
Yeah.
He is hot as fuck. Oh,
everyone at home just Google young John Wayne.
Oh, I get it, man. Can we see that again?
Yeah. Perfect. He made 160 movies, so clearly he was very stunning as a young person.
That's a very... If you want to look for the picture of him in a tux... he is just such an old average man in this movie.
But
he
he's an everyman, but not in the way like famous actors are an everyman. Like in the way, oh, that's a guy who's drinking a beer at 11 a.m. next to me.
Not in the way that Tom Holland is your average nerd. Right. This guy is literally just like, oh, he is not in shape.
He's and it feels like he's phoning it in a lot. Like, yeah. I do not get the acting. Miley's favorite was just the entire experience of this. The American Film Institute trying to tell me this is better than Star Wars. Oh. Like, I'm just so enraged by that. I can't even tell you specifics about why I hate this movie.
Man, they were good friends, weren't they?
What's your favorite part about this movie?
I feel like I did like... So there's Ethan, who's John Wayne. And then he was accompanied by a guy whose name I forgot.
Polly. Was his last name. I forget his
Martin?
First name. Something like that. Martin Polly? Yeah. Anyway.
If anyone's gonna be a protagonist, he was not the worst.
He's so cute.
Yeah, he was cute, and I liked his love interest.
Yeah. I liked her the best, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was my favorite part.
That's better than my favorite part. Is that your favorite part?
I wrote hot sidekick.
Oh. Well, there you go.
So, yeah, I thought he was my favorite part, but now that I'm thinking about it, his fiance, she was just so dynamic and interesting on screen.
Was she interesting?
Yeah, more than anyone else.
Well,
where she was just like feisty. You understand exactly what she wanted, and you understood, and you rooted for her, and like everything about her I liked, and I cannot say that for any other character.
All those things are true. I don't know if she was like deep or interesting. She was just like,
for the movie,
I just don't... she doesn't seem like a horrible racist, and she's I get feisty. Her motive. I love feisty
well
characters.
Here's my problem. So if you want to go back to this whole John Wayne thing, like, I actually think this could be an interesting movie. Like, a remake might be okay, because his...
A remake in space.
I mean, yes. I'm so for that. Anyway, because, like, so this guy who is an anti-hero, who, like, is a loner, he doesn't have anybody, he has complex... Like, we don't know where he's coming from, and he is actually the villain sometimes, and other times he can actually redeem himself. Like, there's something there that could be interesting, and the film totally fails to do anything like that.
Yeah, I want to be clear. What this film is about and what the film actually is, to me, are totally different things.
Correct. Yes.
It's just like so hard to actually pay attention to.
I even like the simplicity of the, like, so I'm going to go out and I have this grand quest, but does he even have this grand quest, or do you just have nothing else in his life?
This movie could have been great at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about just this movie specifically made it so painful to watch.
So that's what I actually read what Martin Scorsese wrote about this film. And he said that was like the complex anti-hero. It was like, this was what opened his eyes to that kind of thing. And I was like, but he's so flat on screen to me. So I don't really get
that.
And
this is like John Wayne's like a 200th film, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder why people weren't just like, all right, it's another one of these. Like, why did this one stand out?
Right. That's it. Yeah. And I even get that the AFI wanted to put a Western hype on the list because, like, oh, this is like a really specific genre that's American and we want to do the best of this. But why this film?
Here's my cynical guess. Martin Scorsese likes it. So they're like, well.
And Spielberg, who I think are both AFI members.
Yeah. So. And you know, I mean, people just want to like what they like.
Totally. Remember, I mean, I get it. I'd suck up to them.
Remember that movie Tootsie?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, why was that on the list? That was such like a weird, like, corny comedy.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else is like that on the list.
Well, this is why I think there should be more things like rom-coms on the list or like, so I don't know. You don't know.
But doesn't
it won a lot of awards, which apparently isn't always a thing. I'm so mad. Anyway, why don't we just tell people what it's about?
Yeah, let's go through the plot. This great epic journey. There's so much text in this plot.
I'm so sorry.
Do you want to start off?
The year is 1968. Ethan Edwards, John Wayne, returns after an 8-year absence to the home of his brother, Aaron, in the wilderness of West Texas, which totally looks like Arizona. It is actually the like stones, the like beautiful rock formations. That is a place in Arizona.
Oh, that's not a place in Texas?
No.
I'm not smart enough to know the difference.
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ethan fought in the Civil War on the side of the Confederacy, which is super cool.
Awesome.
And in the 3 years since the war ended, he apparently fought in the Mexican Revolutionary War. And I gotta say, when we first meet our hero, he's just weirdly antagonistic constantly.
How is California?
California? How should I know?
Do you think people were into that?
Well, it wasn't like a fun Han Solo way. It was like a, wow, I don't want to talk to you anymore way.
But this movie came out in the, what, 50s?
I guess. I feel like we've seen... More
year is 68. So when did this movie come out?
It's 56.
The opening line of our summary says that the year is
1868. Obviously.
Obviously.
Sorry about that. What if it was in the future? That would have made this movie so much more interesting. It's only 10 years in the future.
Here's a little thing. I was watching Aladdin the other day, and there's these fans commentating over it, and they're like, dude, there's this fan theory that Aladdin is actually in the future after the apocalypse. And me, I was like, I feel like that's a fan theory on every property.
Right.
Every property is like, oh, I bet it's actually in the future.
Yeah, it's actually not that creative, is it?
Yeah, that's like everyone's go-to.
Yeah.
Like, I bet The Office actually takes place in the future after apocalypse.
Oh,
and
wow,
the people who started Dunder Mifflin actually blew up the planet.
What if?
What if? What if?
Okay. Anyway.
What are we talking about?
Anyway, Ethan Edwards, he has a large quantity of gold coins of uncertain origin in his possession, kind of like John Wick, but not at all.
Dude, that's such a good film.
And a metal.
I don't remember that part, the gold coins.
Don't you remember he had to pay people off with the gold coins at random times?
It's like a Chuck E. Cheese situation.
It is.
Did he ever say that in the film? Here, I have to pay you off. This is a Chuck E. Cheese situation.
When else do you use a Chuck E. Cheese token? It's not anything like a Chuck E. Cheese token. You don't go to your, like, you don't bribe people with Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
Well.
I mean, I don't know your life. Maybe
I would accept that bribe. That's my life.
I bet you just think it's so silly. You'd be like, okay.
Be like, lol. Yeah, I will.
Anyway. He also has a medal from the Mexican campaign that he gives to his 8-year-old niece, Debbie. As a former Confederate soldier, he's asked to take an oath of allegiance to the Texas Ranger. He refuses because being a Confederate is the best. Yeah, he's just like, okay, I'll help you. And they're like, okay, just quick take the oath of Texas Rangers. He's like, I won't do that.
All right, I'll swear you in.
No need to. Wouldn't be legal anyway.
And I'm like,
Do you think people, when they're watching the film, they understood what the Texas Rangers were? Because I still don't even get what that is. Just means like you're a cop.
So the Texas was kind of a semi-autonomous state at this point. And the Rangers were a kind of a set of volunteers, but you still had to. So like how a lot of fire departments around Wisconsin are actually run by volunteers, but you still have to do training and stuff. It's like that. So you like, you're not a ranger most of the time, but so if there's like an emergency.
So volunteer police.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Does that
Is
answer
it my
your question?
Turn for this paragraph here?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I'm reading it right now. Shortly after Ethan's arrival, cattle belonging to his neighbor Lars Jorgensen are stolen.
What a cute name.
Jorgensen or Jorgensen?
Jorgensen?
Yeah, it's like kind of Swedish, right? And when Captain Clayton, Tarzan, leads Ethan and a group of rangers to recover them, they discover that the theft was a Comanche ploy to draw the men away. To draw the men away from their families. When they return, they find the Edwards homestead in flames, like Star Wars. Aaron, his wife Martha, like Superman, and their son Ben
Batman!
Are dead. And Debbie and her older sister Lucy have been taken. So I can see where a lot of inspiration.
How is that like Star Wars? Like, this isn't the only movie that has, like, anyway.
I can't
fine.
Think of another film with the burned home house.
Well, fine.
Forrest Gump, Jenny went to her home and it was all...
No, it was fine. It didn't burn down.
Yeah, but it was all cruddy.
Yeah. I mean, anyway.
They did knock it down at a point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The men set out in pursuit to get the girls. They come upon a burial ground of Comanches who were killed during the raid. Ethan, our hero, mutilates one of the bodies. When they find the Comanche camp...
What was his motivation for doing that?
I do not know.
Okay.
He just doesn't like Comanches. Yeah, this is kind of a theme also that Ethan is the one that knows the most about Comanches. Like, he can speak a little of their language and he knows their rituals and he knows everything about them, but he is the most racist.
Here's cynical explanation number two for why people just like this film. Because I think boys, like, I was not a boy like this, but don't boys like the fantasy of cowboys versus Indians? That's a common, like,
but
playground
thing. Do
you
feel thing? Like they did a lot of that? Like, there was a lot of John Wayne being racist and talking about them, but how... There wasn't much of them fighting, actually.
Well, here, it's the perfect marriage of that, plus, like, it's so slow that you could pretend it's high art. So it's,
maybe.
You know what I mean?
You know what? I'll give it to you. That's how.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry. They find the Comanche camp.
It's Comanches.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Ethan recommends a full frontal attack, but Clayton insists on a stealth approach to avoid
just
killing...
Just frontal attack. That's like full frontal attack.
I don't know why I said that. I was hoping you would just... Anyway, the men ride into an ambush, which I gotta say, this battle scene was so surprisingly boring.
Yeah.
It was such a...
It had no John Williams score to it.
No. Although they fend off the attack, the Rangers are left with too few men to fight the Native Americans. They return home, leaving Ethan to continue his search for the girls with only Lucy's fiancé, Brad Jorgensen, and Debbie's hot adopted brother, Martin Polly.
Did I say Martin? I knew a character's name.
Good job.
I'm proud of myself.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Who our hero calls Half-Breed and weirdly Blankethead. He calls him Blankethead more than once, and I Googled this, and this is... The only thing that comes up is this movie, and they're like, he's probably trying to do a racial slur, but there's no history of this being a racial slur.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Ethan finds Lucy brutally murdered and presumably raped in a canyon near the Comanche camp.
It's Comanche.
In a blind rage, Brad rides directly in the Indian camp and is killed, which is actually not clear in the film. I had to look that up because, like, he's just like, I'm so mad. And then he runs off and you just see, like, the two heroes just, like, watching him, like, and you hear shots. And then next scene. Also, this is I feel like this is the limits of John Wayne's acting, where he's just like a tough man most of the time. And the one time he had to show any emotion, he's like, all right, I saw her. I saw her in the, and she was murdered and raped. He didn't even say raped, but like he said in a way that implied it. And he was just yelling. Like, he wasn't acting.
Yeah, he never shows emotion.
No.
You never care about what John Wayne thinks.
Yeah, at all. Like, it didn't sound like he was that upset about his niece being raped and murdered. He was just upset that people kept asking him dumb questions. Like, that's the kind of tone he was taking.
Yeah. When winter arrives, it's snowing, right, in this scene. And we were confused by that because, like, they're in Texas. So why is there snow?
Who knows where they are?
Who
frankly.
Knows? Ethan and Martin, remember I remembered that name, so be impressed again, lose the trail and return to the Jorgensen Ranch. Martin is enthusiastically welcomed by the Jorgensen's daughter, Lori, who is awesome, and Ethan finds a letter waiting for him from a trader named Futterman, who claims to have information.
You liked that name at the time.
I did?
Yeah. Futterman.
I still do. Who claims to have information about Debbie. Ethan, who would rather travel alone, leaves without Martin the next morning. But Lori provides Martin with a horse to catch up.
This is what I mean about Lori. So she, like, is in love with Martin. She just wants him to stay because they've already been gone for years, right? And they come back and she's like, all I want to do is for you to stay here and just be with me. And I know you love me and I love you. But she's like, but I know you. I know you're going to go after him. So just take my horse. Just get the fuck out of here. I can't even. And it was, I don't know. I just thought her acting was really good. And I was more compelled by her character and their motivations than anyone else.
Maybe by her acting was good. What we mean to say is we understood what the fuck she was saying. So, like, we could actually play along with the movie.
Sure.
At Futterman's trading post, Ethan and Martin learn that Debbie has been taken by the war chief, scarred like Lion King. A year or more later, Lori receives a letter from Martin describing the ongoing search. In reading the letter aloud, Lori narrates the next few scenes in which Ethan kills Futterman for trying to steal his money. Martin accidentally buys a Comanche wife, and the two men find
it's supposed to be very cute, I guess.
And the two men find a portion of Scar's band killed by soldiers.
By the way, we have not talked about. So Martin Pauly, the cutie cute.
He's kind of cute, yeah. Yeah.
So he's also not Native American, which
yeah,
he's
half, half breed. Blanket half.
But the actor is a guy who went on to play Jesus.
In what film?
It's called The King of Kings. I guess it was.
Is that a famous film?
It was a big budget film that I think went nowhere. Oh. But more importantly, he's Captain Pike from the original Star Trek. That's how I recognized him.
Oh, the original series?
Yeah.
I don't know any of those characters.
Well.
I know.
Yeah? Go on.
I fucking have a blanket on the main guy's name.
William Shatner?
Yeah. What's the guy's name?
Kirk?
Yeah. Jesus. That bit went south.
Leonard Nimoy.
It's not what I'm looking for.
James Tiberius Kirk is his full name.
You're a nerd. I know Picard. I know Data. I know the important shit.
Oh, you know the cool. Okay, anyway.
That's cool kids like, yeah, the next generation for sure.
The search leads Ethan and Martin to a military fort and then to New Mexico, where a Mexican man leads them to Scar. Oh, my God. And we didn't even mention the part where they meet the Mexican man. And there's just this woman like standing in a corner dancing at people with her. Her little maracas. It's like. And, like, I think it seems like she's trying to seduce people, but she's just kind of being annoying.
Just having
and
fun.
Also a racist stereotype.
She's my favorite part of the film. She was so fun.
They find Debbie after 5 years, now an adolescent, living as one of Scar's wives. She tells the men that she has become a Comanche and wishes to remain with them. Ethan would rather see her dead.
It's Comanche.
Than living as an Indian. And tries to shoot her, our hero. But Martin shields her with his body and a Comanche wounds Ethan with an arrow as they escape again. So like, okay, so he's complicated guy, but it's just like, you don't feel any of it. You're like, oh, he's just your racist uncle. Like you don't feel any empathy for him at this point. We've spent most of the movie with him. I'm not rooting for him now.
Hold on.
I'm rooting for him
Let
less
me think about
now
this.
That he wants
so
to
So if you're an sense. Audience member and you're watching, what do you think about Ethan's character?
Exactly.
So you're like, oh, I guess he just hates her.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. 'Cause then why is he on the search?
Yeah, he's given 5 years of his life to this. So to me, when I, as an audience member, I was like, oh, he just hates Indians. He doesn't even care about any of this.
But I mean,
it was unclear what his motives were at any time.
It's like no matter what the plot is, it's just like you can't really connect to it no matter what. Mm-hmm. Even if it made perfect sense, just because John Wayne is just so nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So Martin shields her with his body and a command. Oh, sorry. Although Martin tends to Ethan's wounds, he is furious with him for attempting to kill Debbie. Oh,
sure,
why?
Yeah.
And wishes him dead. That'll be the day,
That'll
Ethan
be the
replies.
Day.
That'll be the day.
He says that a few times. But he says it, that's his exact line delivery.
Folks, we're in the home stretch.
That'll
this is the last
be
paragraph.
The day.
Are you ready?
Do you want a quick fact about that?
I'd love it.
It's a rumored fact.
Okay.
That Buddy Holly went to see this movie and then afterwards was inspired to write the song, That'll Be the Day.
I don't know that song.
That you make me cry, oh,
yeah,
that'll be the
day
when you say goodbye. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day that I die. Oh, that's not okay. Is that like threatening suicide? Anyway, it's fine.
Meanwhile, Charlie McCory has been courting Lori in Martin's absence. Ethan and Martin arrive home just as Charlie and Lori's wedding is about to begin. After a fist fight
between... Wait, can we like pause a second? What a weird tonal shift, right? So the last scene, we see John Wayne about to murder his niece he's been looking for 5 years. And then we see a conversation with him and Pauly about like, how could you do this? Next scene, like, you're marrying my woman. Let's fight about this. And it's kind of funny and cute. It's like, what the fuck movie am I watching?
You're saying this like I was really into that other tone. And now this new tone is a problem.
Well, I liked the new tone better.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like at one point I was not invested and now there's fun things happening.
That's fair. Oh, yeah. And this guy had a crazy accent.
Can you do an impression?
Oh, gosh. Now you're going to be here and try to steal my woman.
I'll thank you to unhand my fiancé.
Was he that soft spoken?
He was because it was really hard to hear him.
That sort of applies across the board. After a fist fight between Martin and Charlie, a nervous Yankee soldier, lieutenant.
Ooh, I have a fact about that. Is John Wayne's son.
Whoa. Was he hot?
No.
Fuck.
Was he? I don't know. I made that up.
Lieutenant Greenhill arrives with news that Ethan's half-crazy friend, Mose Harper, has located Scar.
Clayton leads his men to the Comanche camp, this time for a direct attack. But Martin is allowed to sneak in ahead of the assault to find Debbie, who welcomes him. Martin kills Scar during the battle.
Oh, by the way, so they come back and Debbie's like, oh, please save me, take me with you. And it's not clear why before she said, I want to stay, and now she doesn't. No reason for that.
So Martin kills Scar in the battle and Ethan scalps him.
Okay. Martin kills Scar, leaves. Ethan goes into the tent, finds the dead body, and we watch him scalp. Like, we don't see the scalp coming off.
Yeah, you don't
off,
see blood.
But it's weird.
That's very strange. Ethan then locates Debbie and pursues her on horseback. Martin fears that he will shoot her as he has promised.
And there's no reason for us to believe otherwise.
But it's dead. He sweeps her up onto his saddle. Let's go home, he says. Debbie is brought to the Jorgensen Ranch, and Martin reunites with Lori. In the closing scene, Ethan departs the homestead as he arrived, alone, clutching his arm, the cabin door slowly shutting on his receding image.
Oh my god. It's like he's always been alone and will be alone, but he should be because he's a bad person. So I don't actually have any feelings about this character.
Right. I was just discussing this with you about the film Aladdin. Can I?
Yes.
You're distracted?
No, okay. I was just pulling up John.
Okay. Are you ready for what I'm about to say?
I'm not ignoring you.
Like, Aladdin has so many plot holes and things you can think about, and like, that doesn't make any sense. But yeah. Just, it's such a well-done movie that you emotionally connect to it 100% of the
time.
So
you say you need more Robin Williams shtick?
What I'm saying is, this movie has problems, but let's not pretend like it's plot problems. There's just something fundamental about its filmmaking that you can just totally not emotionally connect to it at all.
Yeah, and so I have a controversial opinion, too.
Whoa.
Because a lot of people have said how beautiful the film is.
It's beautiful.
I mean, it's a little samey. If you got some postcards from the Grand Canyon, you're kind of in the same ballpark
of
what you get from this
nice.
Movie.
Those are good looking, yeah.
I guess. We've seen a couple westerns where I thought the cinematography was pretty nice. I mean, actually, you know, it kind of reminds me of the cinematography of, what's the Born to be Wild film?
Easy Rider.
Easy Rider. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, that's America. And it's like, after 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, we did that. And we're doing that again.
A landscape shot. Yeah, it was only impressive for so long. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, there wasn't anything, to me, again, I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about film, but there wasn't anything particularly interesting about the filmmaking to me, other than it being beautiful and filmed in a beautiful place.
You know, you'd have to like really understand the context. Like maybe if you watch like 10 films that happened the same year right before, then maybe you would be like, oh, well, this film did that, which is new.
Right. But remember when we watched Bridge on the River Kwai, which happened, and that was actually a more interesting film and it was lovely.
Yeah.
And well acted, so and you understand it. You understood people's motives.
Man, that's so fucking good.
Yeah.
That they seem like they should be 30 years apart, those movies.
Yeah.
Because that's such a fucking good film.
So it's not the time.
Speaking
fault.
Of someone who does not care for Bridge on the River Kwai, let's call our brother John.
Oh, he's not going to like that.
He liked half of it, if I recall.
Oh, that's true. But he still liked it.
He liked it better than he would have liked this film.
Right.
By a lot, I'm sure.
John, ready?
Hey, John. We're talking about the movie Searchers. Have you seen it? What did you think?
You reminded me yesterday to watch it, and I forgot to.
John, you are a lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, dude.
It has so much.
I know, right?
It might be the worst Western we've seen, and all the Westerns we've seen are terrible. I actually think it is the worst really? Western we've seen.
Do you know anything about John Wayne? Do you have any thoughts about him?
I do, but I don't particularly care for him.
Okay, we agree on that.
Yeah.
What movies have you seen him in?
The
Quiet Man, probably.
Quiet Man, the Normandy movie.
Oh my god, I saw some clips of him in the Genghis Khan movie. That was so gross and embarrassing.
Oh, I believe that. Oh man.
It's already racist on its premise, and he slaps women around in it, so it's real fun. Anyway.
On the plus side, he's an actor with an airport named after him, right?
Oh, really?
Isn't the Orange County Airport John Wayne Airport or something like that?
That sounds right. So, what grade do you give it?
What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it an F.
F? Why not?
Let's have fun.
I'm gonna get a D minus.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Feel positive.
I felt it might have some redeeming value.
Yeah, like the beautiful cinematography. That's your thing.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm really all about that.
All right, John.
My story did it for me.
Oh no, it didn't. Don't lie to us. John, thank you so much for calling.
We appreciate it, John.
Well, talk to you later. Bye.
Reminding me three times to watch that movie.
Yeah.
No problem. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Clay, what are you great
at? F. Honestly, I was just thinking about all the other Westerns, like High Noon, and then there was the other one.
Clint Eastwood one?
The Clint Eastwood one. And then there was the Guys movie. Oh, no. I'm going to forget. Anyway, the point is...
Starsky and Hutch.
I didn't like any of those movies.
Yeah, I can't think of them.
Wild Bunch.
The Wild Bunch.
Did not like that. But this actually was the worst of them. I really think... Even Shane.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, I would say so.
It was just... a lot of what you like
Shane
about
was
a movie...
Bad.
Shane was bad. But a lot of the movie is kind of about expectations versus... You know, what you see. And this was bad in every way a movie can be bad. And these motherfuckers are trying to tell us that it's better than Star Wars. And I'm not going to forget that. So F. Honestly, if this was like 98th on the list, sure. I'll give it a D because, oh, it's beautiful. And Polly's kind of cute. And I like some of the acting. No. F.
Yeah, I feel F. Like, I still feel bad. I feel like a couple weeks ago I got you to slightly downgrade Sunset Boulevard. Be like, pfft. This high on the list, come on. So now any movie I'm
Sunset
like,
Boulevard is great.
It's
actually
fantastic compared to this film. Are you kidding me? It's a fucking treasure. And this movie is the worst. So F minus.
That's
just
not
F.
An option.
Fine, F.
And no one would sponsor us this week because they're like searchers.
Too bad. Too bad of a film.
Yeah. I tried to get in touch with Scorsese's people, but apparently they don't sponsor podcasts.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm surprised if you're still listening.
Yeah, if you're still with us. And if you're not, don't blame you. But join us next week for City Lights.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yay.
And cut.